Welcome to the Teach and Tell podcast. I'm your host, Mike Raymer, Executive Director of the Georgia Council on Economic Education, an organization whose mission is to help teachers teach economics and personal finance. Come along as we spend time with some great teachers to learn more about what it's really like in the classroom. Today's guest is Casey Ryan. Casey, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your teaching career.
Casey Ryan, I graduated college with a degree in special ed elementary at a dual major. Wasn't really sure, knew I wanted to teach and coach, but wasn't sure exactly what or where. And then ended up leaving Arizona, heading out to Georgia, and taught and coached, taught special ed as a collaborative teacher, a co-op teacher, different names for it, inclusion teacher, but did that for 3 years there. Then went out to Austin, Texas, did the same thing out there for 3 years. Then up to Colorado, was there for 2 years, went to grad school, back to Austin for a couple more years, and then moved into administration, guess what now, 12 years ago. It's been an assistant principal at a middle school and a high school now for, I guess, the last 12 years. Which is wild to think it's been that long.
I can't believe it's been that long either. So Casey, you and I taught together in the mid-2000s, I guess, must have been, somewhere around.
2001 to 2004.
There you go, at Starsmill High School in Fayetteville, Georgia. So I've been in your classroom. I've seen you teach. You mentioned you teach, or you did teach special ed. I will say right up front, you were an amazing special ed teacher, and I saw you with many, many kids, and the way you interacted them was just magical. I mean, you really reached your kids. I used to come down to your room during my planning period just to hang out and learn things from you. It was fun. I really, really enjoyed it because I was always trying to find things I could kind of borrow from other teachers. But I never had the rapport that you did with your kids. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you are the first guest on the Teach and Tell podcast that has gone from teaching into administration. Some other teachers have talked about it. So why did you make that jump?
I think I was looking for something different. I think I really enjoyed what I did, but was kind of looking for a new opportunity. I was getting out of coaching at that point. Was kind of looking for something different. My wife was pregnant with our first child, and something had to give. And I kind of always told myself and her that I'd stop coaching once we had kids, just because it's the commitment and time. Yeah. And so had the opportunity in Colorado to go to grad school, went and met with the director of the program up there, was really impressed and thought that was just kind of the next step in my career. I think part of it had been some administrators that I had as a teacher that kind of really inspired me and made me want to do that. I think at some points I was like, oh, I would never do that. And then you work with certain people that you really enjoy and they seem to enjoy their job and what they're doing. It kind of opens up new ideas and opportunities. And so I guess it was just a new challenge and a new direction for me. And so went into that and have definitely been enjoying it.
All right. What's the most rewarding part of being an administrator? And then I'll ask you about what's the most rewarding part about being a teacher.
I guess the conversations with kids, it's having both those, I guess, kind of the unstructured times, whether it's conversations in the common areas, the hallways, just getting to know kids. That relationship piece, I think, is what I've always been, both in the classroom and my current role, is why I do it. It's the relationship with the kids and getting to know them. And so I think it's an opportunity to kind of work through issues with kids and hopefully provide some support or at least an outlet and an advocate for them. I was not a real strong student in school. My motivation was to stay eligible for basketball and track. I was never really had that intrinsic motivation type of thing. I had my own discipline issues in high school as well. I got to know our dean of students, is what their position was called at my school. And so working at some pretty highly competitive schools that I've had the opportunity to very successful, both state and nationally ranked programs, been around some really high achieving kids and very fortunate, but also kind of able to form relationships too and get those kids that maybe also aren't there to take, six AP classes each year and aren't trying to go Ivy League and have other stuff, and kind of able to identify and hopefully be an advocate and a support for them as well. Yeah. I'd say overall, that relationship piece is what really kind of makes me tick and makes me keep going.
Mm-hmm. How about what do you miss about teaching, being in the classroom? And do you ever go back into the classroom? You're like, I'm teaching today. Take the day off.
I offered up. I haven't had too many. I work with all of our new to campus teachers, whether it's their first year in career, so 22-year-old baby just crossed the stage, university
Yeah.
level, or it's someone that's moved to our district after 20, 30 years in another district. I work with all of our new to campus their first year, regardless of the department. And so I always offer up, hey, I'm happy to come in and team teach. I'd love that opportunity. Not really taking me up on it.
You're missing
I'd
out.
say my I don't know what they're missing, right? I think my favorite, some of the observations when I'm in classes, whether it's a formal observation or just being out and about, I tell kids and I tell our teachers that the quality of my day is in direct correlation to how much time I am out of my office. We have an 8-period day. If I'm in classes for 7 periods one day, which rarely ever happens, I can tell you that's going to be a great day. I'm
Yeah.
probably going to have a ton to do waiting on me, but I'm going to go home in a great mood versus a day that I might step out of my office a couple times to go check in with a counselor or use the restroom that I'm probably not feeling as thrilled walking out
Yeah.
because it means I'm stuck with other projects. Because to me, it's about the people, the kids, and teachers. So just being out there. I think the thing I miss most is teaching as a special ed teacher. Obviously, loved my co-op, collaborative, co-teach classes. Just working with a variety of students that both got SPED services and those that didn't, and working with different teachers. That's been neat to see some of the different teachers I work at and where they're all at now. But I think what I miss the most is our modified or resource classes. So the smaller classes with kids need a little bit more support, just because they were so much fun. Because it was really, when I did my team teach, co-teach classes, they were great, but it was still the other teacher's class. Like I had great relationships, and I think I had was fortunate to have some true co-teach models where I think if you had asked our kids, they would have listed both of us as their math teacher or social studies teacher. So the teams I worked with were fantastic. But ultimately, it was still their classroom type of thing. And we were, guided on the rest of the team or PLC scope and sequence and curriculum. Whereas with my modified, really my call. We had to meet their IEP goals and objectives, but I was able to hit the gas and accelerate if need be, and we can completely hit the brakes and start back over. Just a lot of fun. I look back and it was just a lot of fun. Those kids, you got a variety of kids and personalities and abilities. And it's just, I guess, fun is the way I would describe it. And so when I go in and observe some of those classes, and you just hear some of the funny questions that some related and some totally nothing to do with what the teacher, and I think they
Yeah.
look at me sometimes because I'm doing an observation like, oh no. And I'm like, no, I'm loving this. Like those are the days that makes me go back in class, makes me want to go back to class. And also, I do a lot of stuff with our seniors. And so I'll go into senior English classes to talk about graduation, different stuff. And those are days after giving the same speech over and over, I realize I am far too out of shape to go back to the classroom. Our
Yes.
teachers are, they're in a lot better shape than what they're able to do, stamina to do that all day long.
Yeah,
I appreciate them.
I've talked about this with other teachers on this podcast that remember like the first day of school and you had to talk all day about your syllabus and stuff and you go home, you had no voice. I was like, man, I'm wiped out.
And then every year you would go home and be like, oh man, I was not this tired last year. I was not. I mean, my wife is in education too. And every year it's like that first night, I was like, well, time to go home and have our annual, we weren't this tired last year talk. I think it's also we're just getting old. I think it's not like we're working harder now, we're just
Nope,
old.
that's it. How about some challenges? And again, this might be a long list. I don't even know. What's the greatest challenge or some challenges of being an AP?
I would say the good days far outnumber the bad days. I'm
That's
very
good.
fortunate the kids I work with don't do a whole lot of discipline. I'm gonna have to spend time with very respectful kids. Education is valued, it's important in our community. Our teachers work their tails off and great. But there's just times when you've got a kid struggling, a kid hurting, a kid, those kind of things. I think when you get to know different things. I think in my role that I'm privy to a lot of information that I probably wasn't so as a teacher in regards to things going on in their home life, their outside their personal lives, those kind of things. And that's hard, I think, as a country right now. There's not enough in substance abuse needs that go on with kids. And so that's hard, is trying to arrange people with the proper resource and supports, but also that they want that and being receptive to that help and the need. So those are times where that's harder, taking some of that stuff home, and separating that. But like I said, the good days far outnumber the bad days. That a lot of those, when things improve, there's rewarding to be a part of that and see that kid's success. Because as much as I tell kids that I would love, that's great if they got 95s and above, but ultimately, to me, is where are they at a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, that ultimately is that success. That they can Google a lot of facts, but what kind of skills are we giving them that are applicable to their lives and successes as people and being contributing members of society?
Let's look back into the classroom. So when you were in the classroom, can you think of one single thing that sticks out that you're going to remember, like even when you're retired and living back in Phoenix?
Well, one, you'll never catch me back in Phoenix. It's just way
Okay.
too hot and way too big. Maybe back in Colorado or back in Georgia. But man, that's hard to think. I mean, I think, some of us, I would probably shake my head at stuff my first few years when we were teaching together, that I would probably be having some conversations now if one of my teachers did some of that stuff. And
I'm with
I
you.
didn't know any different.
I'm amazed I didn't get in more trouble than I did.
I think it goes back to that relationship piece with us and our kids, though, because I think there was some stuff that we're like, really, guys? But at the same time, I think we had a relationship with the kids, so it wasn't like, I mean, I think the kids knew we were invested and cared in that. And so, single thing, man, that's back to teaching. Let's see. I mean, I think in science, I think about some of the labs, that kind of stuff, where I'm just thinking about like funny things with kids, certain instances. Again, not so much. I mean, I can't think of like a specific lesson or type thing. I'm just thinking about, different things. Like, we arranged a big lunch for one kid that was a freshman at my first school with you, and like, he was freshman kid hanging out with all the senior girls during homecoming and like stuff like that, that he was so happy. I look at just kind of more the unstructured time, those relationships, interactions. And my hope is, that's what a lot of kids, when they leave classes, that they may remember, oh, we were learning about this, but this is what happened. Like, it's not so much about the content sometimes. I think it's about the experience.
Yeah, I
So there's
agree a
nothing like
thousand.
specific.
Yeah, the fun times. I mean,
Yes.
to me, that's it, man. Just and the fact that you could do it every day, like you could have a fun time 5 days a week for 180 days a year. It's cool. There's that opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, get to work with kids. I mean, that's just it. Like, we get to work with kids. Like, I can't imagine having a job where the majority of people I work with are adults. I mean, because I'm an adult, I wouldn't want to work with me all the time. But with kids, and I think that's what I've been fortunate to work most of the schools I've worked at, that I think it is working with our kids. I've been at a school where, no, it was like the adults and the kids. But I think the most of the camps that I've been on, it's been a very collaborative in the way that the kids treat each other, the way they treat the adults treat each other, the adults treat kids, that it's this more this collaborative. We all treat each other well. And again, like, back to that kind of, I guess, common theme that keeps coming out, is it's the relationships that ultimately, I think that's what, and I think if you asked kids, they'd probably remember certain things that you're like, oh, seriously, that's what you remember from my class? About something totally ridiculous that happened. But it's like, I hope it's a good ridiculous thing, and if they can make it laugh and it's a funny memory or something that makes them smile about that class, good, versus something ridiculous happening that they're like, makes them mad remembering
Yeah,
about it. And
they're not saying
hopefully
you.
that they smile when they think of their class or their experience.
They're not saying you failed me, something like that. It's positive.
Right.
So looking down the road a little tiny bit, would you ever want to be a principal, or is that like the jump from AP to principal? Does that just like, nope, I don't think I want to go there.
I think someday there's been a couple opportunities that I've been approached about or had discussions about. But I think I'm going to know when the time is right. I had one that I, flat out said no thank you. I was pursued on. Another one, I think people expected me to when I was an AP and an opening, but I just felt like I had more to grow and more to do. And I realized part of it too is just the reality of it would put me a little bit further away from the classroom, which means less interactions with kids. I mean, I think as a principal, you can make every effort, but that's just the nature of the job. You do more adult conversations and situations than kids. And so that's part of it. But I do think at some point, yes, my hope and my instinct tells me that I'll know when the time is right, for me and my family to take that opportunity. And but yeah, someday I think so.
All right, so if this happens, will I be the first call you make to say, I'm bringing you with me? You're going to be my econ teacher.
I've got a few, I've kind of got a special, I think, an all-star social studies team in mind. I think at that point, I think most of that team may be retired or close to it, so whether I can give them that sales pitch.
I'll come out of retirement.
But
Done.
depending on where I'm at and where other folks are, I would definitely
All right.
have some few people in mind I'd love to have on my team.
I love the word dream team. Or is that two words? I don't know. So here's a question that I guess you can kind of answer, or maybe you can, I'm not sure. So when you left teaching, well, let's start here. When you left teaching to go to AP, did you know at the end of the school year, like, this is it? Next semester, I'm going to be an AP.
No, actually, I got my first admin job, what, 6 to 8 weeks into the school year.
Oh, wow. Talk about
And
throwing you
so
in the
I, at
deep
the
end.
time, was a middle school special ed teacher
Okay.
at the end of 1 year. And then they were doing, what is it, riffing or whatever the term, reduction in force, where rather than new hires, they were going to redistribute people. And I was one of the newer people at my campus. And so I was going to be transferred to an elementary campus. I was also told, oh, this will be a good opportunity for some admin experience with that principal. And okay, whatever it makes them feel. But went there and realized that I don't know that elementary was quite. I mean, I think I had fun with my kids, and again, back to that fun, and I feel like I did a good job. But I feel like at that point, I knew I was a secondary person. That's where I was supposed to be at that point in my career. But a position opened up at a very new school not too far from where we live, and I applied because they're an assistant principal there got an interim principal job, right? A few weeks into the year, and so went there. Was very fortunate to get the position. And I really don't think it could have been a better landing spot for my first administrative role. The fact that the year was still, like I said, like what, 6 to 8 weeks in. So it was still new in the year, but a lot of that start of the year, I just kind of got to jump in and could not have asked for a better mentor or guide than my principal that year, who truly let me go and trusted me, but also was there a support to kind of help direct me? And so I'm very appreciative of my team there, my principal, the teachers. It was a really, I can't imagine, I said, a better place to start my administrative career with the support that I had in that place. And so, yeah, it was a weird thing that I started the year being an elementary special ed teacher. And I think October 1st was my first day as a middle school assistant principal.
So with all that in mind, let's say you can go and you can teach one more class, like before you retire. It's like, all right, this is it. This is my last day in education. Any kind of special lesson or activity or something you want to do with students?
I mean, separate anything from content, I'd probably do something about kind of goals. Where do they want to be, and what are their goals, and kind of, how do we outline that path to get there? And so talking about, what is it you want to do, and how do we get there, and just kind of discussing that, but also reiterating on that doesn't, defining what success is and how you get there. And it's different, people have different ideas of success. It's not going to the top university and making the most money, but it's doing what makes you happy. And ultimately trying to tell them to keep their eyes on that prize, because I think a lot of times kids are given different ideas by adults in their life on, no, you don't want to go be a kindergarten teacher. No, you don't want to be a chef. You want to go be a lawyer, a doctor, a financial advisor. And for some people, that's their jam and good for them. But I think ultimately, as you move on to life, is finding something that you enjoy, that the work doesn't always feel like work, that it's something you look forward to. And not to say that everybody goes to work fired up to be there every day. You know, that's just the reality of we still have to go bills to pay. You got to go do it. But ultimately, that you still, you're happy there more often than you're not. And so telling people to find what makes you happy and enjoy that.
And I get the sense that you are fired up to go to work every day still.
Most days, yeah. I really am. I mean, I have a fantastic team. I love the teachers I get to work with. I love my kids at school. That ultimately, I think that's one of the big things that keeps me is where I'm at, is that I think I got a pretty special group of kids that I get to work with every day, that I do not take that for granted whatsoever on them and my experience with them. And yeah.
All right. Shout out to the kids.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. How about you might be privy to stuff behind the scenes that we us regular people don't know about, but about some resources that you share or will share or have shared with teachers that make them better teachers.
There's not like a specific like book or like that kind of thing. It's all try and I think what we do at our campus is pretty organic. We don't do a lot of set curriculum like with character development or lessons. We're a one high school district, so our teachers kind of guide it. You know, back to Utah Econ, we have four econ teachers. So they're technically the only four econ teachers of the district. So they kind of get to decide what econ. We have one AP macro, one AP micro. So they decide what that looks like for the whole
Nice.
district, because they are the district in that sense. And so I think it's just trying to be support in how we reframe stuff if there's ever concerns on, okay, I hear you saying this. What was your intent? How might that have made someone feel? Or how can we improve that? I think ultimately it's how do we improve the experience for each other and for our kids, because there is, yes, we're in education, but there is some customer service aspect to that in providing a quality experience. And so just trying to address things as they come up and how we support. A lot of work with our new teachers is I think a lot of districts, you get hired and you kind of get thrown in the, you go through those standard couple of days of new teacher orientation, you get thrown in the deep end, and all right, we'll see you at the end of the year party. Whereas I meet with our team once a month throughout the year, trying to give them timely information, whether they're a first year teacher or a 30-year vet, but how we do things at our school, because homecoming looks different everywhere. Final exams look different. Exam exemptions, what state testing is trying to do timely information to be supportive. And I'm trying to give them stuff when they need it, but not before they need it, and not when it's too late.
Yeah. You mentioned homecoming. What's the big giant thing during your school year where you're like, oh man, this? It's like, oh, can't wait till this is over.
Oh man, I
Senior
am not a
prom?
fan of state testing whatsoever.
Nobody
You
is.
can get pretty much any standardized that, but I'm like, all right, let's wrap this up. But I love our homecoming stuff. I'm over a lot of that with our graduation stuff, and so I love getting on the announcements and living my unfulfilled radio career and being the announcer for the Chicago Bulls, over, I get to relive those moments. I think the kids get a kick out of it. Some of the staff, I think, could do without my excitement, and that might motivate me to get a little bit more excited and loud.
What is, let me ask you this. What is your daughter goes to your school? What does she think of your radio skills?
I think it's probably some eye rolling,
Okay.
and then probably some annoyance by how much other people are enjoying it, and
Here
just
you go.
like, you're just feeding the monster right there. You're just feeding that in which they are.
Good.
But I'm trying to think, I guess when I want the kids on campus, like when we get going and the staff's there for those pre-planning days, I think there's some stuff like some have to do's and those box checks. I'm kind of like, let's get through these. Let's get the kids here, and let's get the year started.
Get to learn on, right?
Yeah.
Last question, and I've got an answer in my head, and I'm gonna let you answer first, and I'm gonna tell you who I think you should say here. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Hollywood comes to make a movie about Casey Ryan's wondrous teaching career. Who plays Casey Ryan on the big screen?
Oh.
You give your answer, I'll give my answer.
I'm going to go with early 2000s Will Ferrell or Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Maybe one of those two. Now, like me, they are much older, but I'll go with maybe one of those two guys.
A hybrid of those two. I can see it. I'm thinking
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn.
Oh, maybe John Cena? A little hit me a little, you can't see me. I don't
Any of
know
those
about
would be
quite
great.
about Vince Vaughn. Okay, yeah.
That's how I could see you. Is Vince Vaughn playing you? It'd be perfect. Great. So, Casey Ryan, the first Teach and Tell podcast guest who is now an administrator. I want to thank you for being an amazing educator. As I said at the start of this, loved seeing you work when you were at Stars Mill many years ago. And I know you're doing great things out at your school now, and your students are lucky to have you. And I wish you nothing but the best for the next how many days till graduation? What's the countdown?
I don't want to know because I'm in charge of it. And so my principal loves to say how many days. I think he watches me actually twitch a little bit on
Okay.
how many it's what, May 23rd is when we
That's
drop the balloons and throw the caps. So it's pretty soon. Yeah. Oh man, it is exactly a month
a
out, isn't
month from
it? Oh,
today.
I'm getting a little sick to my stomach thinking about that, but
So,
it's going to be good.
all right, I'm going to let you go then so you can get busy planning that graduation.
Yeah, let's get some sleep.
All right, later. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Teach and Tell podcast. Help us spread the word and promote great teachers by giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Mike Raymer, and I'm here to remind you that econ is life.